Hump Day Quickie's Swingers Confessions is intended for mature audiences only and contains explicit language and sexual situations. This is not intended as any professional advice. Welcome to Hump Day Quickie's Swinger Confessions. Here in the sex apartment, we share our own sex-positive stories and welcome our friends to open up about their experiences in the ethically non-monogamous lifestyle. Echo and Falcon are back at the sex apartment. Our friends from day one, not only of this podcast, but also our lifestyle journey, return to share a few recent experiences they had in the club with a single gentleman, or a brony, as they like to call them.
And we're back at the sex apartment. Once again, welcoming back the originals, the OGs, the very first interview for their first time in a little over a year, Echo and Falcon. Welcome back, guys.
Wow, it's been a really long time.
Wow, it has been.
It's been a year since your last time, and it's been 3 years since that first time we actually sat down to record that first episode to
3 years.
See if we could make a podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like our third annual review.
Oh, no.
It's our performance review. I hope you brought our A game.
Oh, welcome, welcome, guys.
Always good to be here.
So the first thing I want to jump into, I know you guys had a plan a couple weeks ago to have a potential threesome with a brony. Let's talk about that story.
Oh, man. I really feel like it is important to explain that we've recently come to the table and realized that we needed to review our, what are we looking for? What do we want to get out of this? What are our hard limits or things that maybe we were not okay with that maybe we would be okay with exploring? And I feel like that's really important to explain before we get into this potential threesome with a brony that we had. Prior to that conversation, the thought of inviting a brony anywhere other than, hey, be part of this eight top orgy that we have going on, like, would not be a thing. We respect you, we see you, but we are not interested. That is not what we're looking for.
Now, I remember when the cookie cupboards first opened.
Yeah.
I was very surprised to hear that you broke in one of the cookie cupboards, cookie cupboard being the reverse glory hole, the female glory hole, if you will.
See,
and you come around the corner, it's like, oh, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
I forgot completely about that.
I told you, we've had a really good year.
When we were coming over tonight, we were talking about, and I was like, wow, not really a lot happened. And Echo looked at me like, the fuck you talking about? And you came up with like seven different things that happened. I was like, yeah, I guess that did happen this year. Okay. So yet another one, add that to the list.
One of the things we realized when we were coming to the table is that way back when, years ago, the question was, Echo, what are you looking for? What do you want out of this? I truly could not answer it. I'm like, it has been my mission since then to never be without words and to always have, what is my why? Why do I do this? Why do we do this? And everything we do, and when we're post-scheming, I like to try to take it back to our why, my why, things like that. At the beginning, one of my absolutely not was bronies. No, like I don't want that. I recognized, oh, like I get this year, honestly, this year, I was starting to find my groove more than I had been. And part of my groove is just like this confidence and this idea of just like leaning into my sexuality and being a playmaker and having fun and enjoying driving bronies crazy. The brony who broke in cookie cupboard with me is, we like to say that I'm the president of the bronies, right? And he is like my number one fan, like in the fan club. He's just super respectful, awesome guy. I typically would not necessarily like play with him, but for that I was like, let's make this happen. And it was more like you and him.
I have to give a shameless plug. Cookie cupboards to every club across the land. Love that thing. When we were breaking it in, me and the brony were standing on the other side and you were going up to get situated into the cupboard. Mm-hmm. And he and I said, like rock, paper, scissors. One goes first and one goes second because she won't know which one is which.
I knew which one was which.
Yeah. Well, I knew you ultimately would. We kind of made that plan. And it was fun. That was a lot of fun.
It was fun. However, he did not follow the cookie cupboard rules, which is to like take a nibble. You're not supposed to have like, you're only supposed to have like maybe four Oreos at most. You're not supposed to have an entire line of Oreos. And he had an entire line of cookie. Yeah. Like he,
I have not seen the rules there.
No. So. Well, but if there's someone in line waiting, right? Then you, like, come on. You've had your turn, but I think part of it, because we joked about it, was that he was like, it's time, like, let's make this happen. Yes. He really did. He made it happen. And yeah.
And since then, I've tried out a couple other cupboards around the region. I do have to say some designs are better than others, but ultimately I kind of love the concept of it because I am very much into eating cookies. And it makes it a game and it makes it a lot of fun.
So you prefer the higher placed cupboard?
No, really? Actually, yeah. Because the one, like you're talking like situation eye level or above. Or
right.
Because the one that, and you were with us that night, that one sets lower and I like that one a little bit better.
Okay.
I feel you can adjust yourself to the right height.
Get your back into it.
I was going to say that. Thank you. Thank you for the shameless take.
It is sad though. Like we go to the cupboard, like whenever we're doing our little perv walk and we're like, no, nuts. No one's in there. Yeah. Right? Like it's so sad.
Yes. It's like you with the glory hole.
Let me tell you, a couple years ago there, before we had the rule that if it is out in the world, it is okay. I was walking and there was a very beautiful cock that was just hanging out in the glory hole room. And I walked and I stopped and I looked and cause I had never like, that is again, not a typical Echo thing to do. And I wanted to, but I was like, oh, that's not in our agenda, our rule, whatever. And you weren't with me. I was just like doing my own little solo perv walk. And so I had to like, let it go. And I went back and I asked and Falcon was like, yeah, absolutely. Go like, do that. Yeah,
I think that's so awesome.
And ever since then, every time this was like 2 years ago, every time since then, nothing.
Yeah.
I walk by and I just, oh nuts. Every time. So that's on the 5,000, which is such a sad, weird 5,000 every time.
It's going to happen that some brony's going to be standing there and he's going to be, oh.
Yeah. No, it was such a beautiful cock though.
It was just already floating. You happened to walk by the open door and it was just
hanging
there waiting, asking to be sucked. And I did not.
Now, I mean, from what I've seen, the second you walk into that room and close the door, people will run to it.
But the excitement was that I was just do. Yep. What? Like that.
You stumbled upon.
I stumbled upon it. That was the exciting part.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to be like open for business. I wanted to like just see it.
Like the way I could see it would be you'd go in there, wait. If what comes through is not to your liking, and off you go.
Oh, but then I feel bad.
That's right. You look deep within yourself, discovered your sexuality, and that led you to what?
A couple of things. It led to a really interesting discussion that Falcon and I had that maybe I am not as submissive as I thought I was, not just in the lifestyle, but also like with Falcon. Maybe we are more equal, on equal footing. And so like there are times where I will see how Falcon plays with others. I love it. And it's so hot. And then I reflect on how he plays with me and it has a different vibe. It's often so much more intimate. Even when it is feisty, there's still like, it is drenched in intimacy. And I've asked you before, like, why won't you play with me like that? I would love for you to play with me. And then there have been times where you've played with me like that. And I'm like, I Heisman you. And I'm like, okay, I don't like that anymore. Never
mind. We're done there.
That doesn't feel, that's not us. I don't like that. You've said when you play with me, like you play with others, tends to be more rough. It tends to not have as much of a connection that it doesn't feel right. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Because you see me more as an equal.
That's exactly it. There's certain moves and there's certain things that I do with others that just doesn't feel right because you and I share a whole different level. It's a whole different world. Right.
Nessa, when we had our adult sleepover a couple months ago and we were talking about masturbating, like we were talking and like your conversation with me like really changed my winter. So did someone give you the hypothesis that what you think about when you masturbate is probably a kink or fetish you should lean into? Or was that you? You had that thought.
No, that was me. Why are these thoughts the thoughts that immediately you have your go-to moves, your go-to places you touch, the things you know that turn you on? But why are the thoughts that I'm thinking those particular thoughts? And then that's when I kind of like delved into what about this is turning me on? Why am I being turned on by when I masturbate? I think of the person that I would be with saying these particular things to me. And why do I want to hear that? Why those particular words? Because there have been plenty of times where I've talked to G about them and he'll put his own spin on it. And for whatever reason, the spin he puts on it still doesn't have the right ring or doesn't hit on the certain level that it does when I'm masturbating. So then I have to kind of delve deeper and be like, what behind that? What is it exactly? So it was just something that I just was like kind of messing with myself in the fact of like trying to figure out exactly how to push my own buttons and let somebody else and like teach somebody else how to do it. You know, that's where I was going with it. I was like, I want to be able to tell G to do this and then bam, I'm there. You know, like I wanted like the fast track way of getting there. And that was the way I went about it. So did you do the same thing?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yes and no.
Let me answer. Yes. She
did. No, I didn't. No. You don't know all the things. When we had that conversation and I shared with you like, oh, absolutely. Here are the things that I am reflecting on as I masturbate. But I then shared with you, Falcon, part of that conversation that Nessa and I had. We talked through and I asked you because I was being a chicken shit. And I was like, so like what do you think about when you masturbate? Right? Because I was too nervous to share mine.
Right.
And what'd you say? Because now I'm nervous again. So like, what'd you say?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. I can't remember. I'm sitting there going, wait,
oh, come
wait,
on. Wait. Anything you did that last time. And I was like, really? And I listed a list of things and you're like, actually all those things.
I will have to say that that was a brilliant hypothesis because we have been digging through that probably for the last 6 or 8 deep conversations we've had when it comes to that.
My go-to to masturbate is always and forever power play. Always. It often is someone having power over me. Mm-hmm. What I recognize, though, after our conversation is, but what actually gets me there is when I flip it and I'm focusing on my power over the situation.
Okay.
Not like a topping from the bottom.
Right.
Just like a straight up topping.
Yeah.
And it is confusing me because as of right now, it looks and feels a whole lot different from any form of female domination that I have been able to find like through social media or like online. Like it doesn't feel like when you think a female top, it doesn't feel like that at all.
Okay.
And like what I am saying and how I am saying it to myself / I'm not even saying it to myself anymore. I'm saying it to the person because it's weird because I am like using my beautiful, awesome wand on me for me to get off. Yet I am talking to someone else about how they are making me come.
Yep.
It is a really fucked up, like awesome thing happening up here, but it doesn't feel typical. I don't want to say normal. It doesn't feel typical. So it's confusing me.
Okay. It's fair.
See, I'm such a derp. This is where dudes and chicks are so different.
So different.
Because I'm sitting there going, well, I like hotel sex.
No, I know. Yeah, you like hotel sex. You like focusing on
younger.
That's
about as deep as it went. And you have this whole thing going on. I love it.
I do. And that's part of going way back to this whole conversation about this brony. That's part of it is I have been really enjoying utilizing bronies for my own pleasure in a way of me being able to like have control over that narrative.
Yeah, it's been neat to watch. I will have to say because it is a new facet. It's something that we've just been pressing on in the last, 6-8 months, somewhere around there. And you have taken kind of a new stance, I think has been really fun. It's been a fun breakout of those, let's call it the 1,000 fantasies out of the 5,000 that we suddenly unlocked that level and now we're kind of playing through it.
You said you noticed I walk different. I carry myself differently.
Yeah.
Like at the club.
Yeah. You definitely have a stronger stance. Mm-hmm. You you're not as tentative anymore, mm-hmm. which is really neat to see. It's fun to watch.
But it can get kind of confusing for the two of us.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, right? I would say over the last year, the word that we would use is evolve.
Yeah.
Because we've gone through this whole evolution where even when we were talking earlier before we started recording is you get into this, what used to be this, wow, new, exciting, crazy. It's kind of the regular. So now what's the next level? What's the next facet? What's the next avenue? And I think this is definitely one that we walked down that has been refreshing. It's been fun.
So with all that, you guys had that first threesome?
We've always claimed that we've never been in a threesome, but we've had a foursome, a sixsome, an eightsome, tensome, twelvesome.
That is still true to this day.
Yeah. Oh, you did. Game night didn't fulfill your.
No.
No.
Like other things happened for game night that were fulfilled that are different. But no, like we still have yet to have like a traditional threesome.
Yeah.
We've had it as like part of scenes, like, right? Like you were part of that, mm-hmm. right? And like, but it was a smaller part of a bigger part, but like an actual, like, you know, you and me together, we make three. Like that has not been a thing as of yet.
No.
Still on the list.
That amazes me that that's still on the list.
You know, we really like even numbers, I guess, right now.
Yeah. We can say that up until recently, we have now had a brony and a unicorn join us. But we had to pair them together, so it became four.
Four.
But it was definitely a bona fide unicorn and a brony.
Yeah.
It was a good time. It was very interesting.
This single male, I like saw on the site and was incredibly attracted to him from the get-go. And normally I don't go to the site. Like normally it very much is Falcon's thing. But I was perusing and I saw and I hit the little like button, which I never do. And then I also slid into his DM, which I never do. And then we started writing back and forth, which is, again, something that I typically don't do. He met us at the club and I, like, my attraction, like, just instantly skyrocketed. And I love how, first of all, I love how he looked at me, like, how he talked to me, I liked how respectful he was, I liked to smile. But I also really like how he and Falcon got along really well.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. And I really like the fact that he, like, cut through the bullshit and was just like, how are we going to make this happen? And I was like, this is a great question. Here's my issue. Falcon needs to be a part of this somehow. But I wasn't ready to pop my threesome cherry yet. And he was the one who was like, bloop, found a unicorn. Let's throw this in the mix.
Got one.
Yeah, and he got one. And we're like, well, yeah, let's make this happen. And
why the hesitancy to pop said threesome cherry?
Okay, because I have now built it up as a thing in my head that if I'm going to have this threesome and Falcon is a part of it, then it like is a very specific fantasy in my head.
Yes.
To be a thing. I feel like I could have a threesome with two other men and be totally okay with that. But
oh,
if
that's
I'm going
to happen.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But like if I'm going to have the threesome, right? Like male, female, male, one, and you are a part of it, then it is a very specific one, right?
Yeah.
And like, no, so is yours, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want your first time to be something a little special there, right?
Yeah, I'm pop my cherry.
Now, before we dig into this unicorn and brony event,
yep.
Let's delve into this fantasy world. Mm-hmm. And you guys are always known for your very detailed, elaborate fantasy world that you have. What is your ideal threesome?
Okay, so I know that you wanted to wait and not dive into this brony unicorn story, but I need to tell you that post coital, when I was like laying there and unicorn left for a moment, right? Because she's like little sprinkles, her sprinkles, and left for a moment. So it was just brony, Falcon, and me. And I was laying on the bed and both of you were standing and looking over and down at me, and I melted. And I was like, this is it. Brony is, and it's like Brony and you are the same age. You're both young 50s. There is a 17-year age gap between us. That is what I want. Like I have these two silver foxes who are fucking hot and like looking down at me. And that's what I want. You know that, right?
Cause yeah, you and I talked through that.
Do you remember that one time at the restaurant?
Yes.
It was like before a race, right?
Uh-huh.
And you leaned over and you're like, him. Right, and it was a vanilla guy, but he was super hot, and he looked
beautiful, man. Yeah,
he was. Yeah, he looked like he knew his way around a boardroom. That kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and also got like manicures.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And
works out every morning at 5 a.m.
Yeah,
and he gets done before any of us get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You were like him, like that. Yeah. That would be our third, and I'm like, sign me up. So that would be my ideal.
Okay. So we discussed post-coital. Let's get back to coital.
Yeah.
Brony grabs said unicorn, says, come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
One thing that Brony was into that we also are totally cool with is being in the Always Exhibition room. Before Brony grabbed unicorn, I need to explain the crazy attraction that I had with Brony. You left for a moment.
I went to get a drink, I think. Yeah.
And so I was with Brony in porn room. We started making out, but we were making out by that one windowy that is also maybe a mirror, maybe a window, like I don't know what it is. And so like he was watching and then telling me to look at us and what we look like together. And he was touching my thighs and going up my skirt and feeling me and kept asking if it was okay. And just kept talking about how much he loved kissing me and how awesome it was. His little buddy was there and was like, I just, thanks for letting me be a part of this. And that was really cool. And it was in an open space, which is one of our, not rule, I don't like the word rule, one of our, right? Like open space is cool.
Yeah.
I didn't have like, oh gosh, where's Falcon? Like this is maybe wrong. Like, no, it wasn't. Like it was all above board.
So
was,
kind of like if you can do it in front of everyone, then it's okay to do kind of thing.
Well, I mean,
more or less. Yeah.
Kind of, but like if I fuck in front of people and that's not okay to do, isn't it? Right. So
noted. All right.
yeah. There is a hard line there, but you definitely got the gist.
He ended up on the recliny chair thingy and he like flipped me and like pulled. So I was, my bottom was facing him and he pulled my skirt up. And like he started giving me a rim job, kind of like, and like we've talked about this before. Gee, like I'm okay with that. It's like it, typically something that I asked for like consent to be a thing, but like also I'm kind of okay with it. And it was happening, and that's when you came back, and I looked at you, and I was like, we need to get a room. And then that's when Brony number two was like, I just really thank you. This is so beautiful. Thank you for letting me see this. I was like, we need to get a room. And that's when I was like, but listen, we need to make sure that everyone here, like equal opportunity player. And that's when he was like, bloop, here's my buddy, my little unicorn buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming from the seat, it was very quick that we're going into a room and, oh, by the way, this is your friend. Enjoy. I met her and she was like, I'm a unicorn. And I'm like, I've never been with a unicorn before because I truly have not.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out very well. I mean, good chemistry, good kismet.
I don't think it would have worked the other way around. Right? Like if you were with someone and trying to like have that slow burn and then someone was dropped in my lap.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked because what did we read the other day? That some people can be microwaves and some people are ovens, right? Where it takes a little bit longer to heat up.
Yep.
I tend to be more of an oven. And you, though you can be an oven.
I'm a 15,000 watt microwave. Come on, let's all be real here.
Yes.
It takes me about 4.5 seconds and I'm ready to go.
Oh, you also have you love pushing the limit. And yeah. So for this hot woman who had like the nerdy vibe come in and she's quirky and so fun. And she was like, yeah, let's do this. And you're like, yep, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
worked out.
It was instant. Yeah, yeah, it was really cool.
You two looked super hot together too. She afterwards said that we were the first couple that she'd been with.
Yeah.
And that's in true. The club. And she said 10 out of 10, recommend.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, out of curiosity, if said unicorn wasn't there, what happens?
Honestly, I like it really was that what Falcon and I have, like that matters more than my loins and what they wanted to do, you know? And I really could have made out with that Brony all fucking night and been totally okay with it. In the several times we've been to the club and we've seen him since, it absolutely like that. I think I made out with him before I said hi to him, like every time. Like it's just, I would have been okay with that. I wasn't ready. Yeah. Like we both have to be in that threesome mindset.
I was about to say, because I think what you're driving at, we're okay with doing a threesome. It's just, it's got to be the right timing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That the timing worked out so beautifully that it was like, oh, here's a unicorn and here we go. But if that wasn't there, that still the threesome and get a room thing is absolutely on our list. That's
yeah,
5,000.
But I don't want threesome if it's like a, because you were looking to play with another woman. that night, right?
Yeah.
And what I don't want is for baby's first threesome to be a, all right, I couldn't do that. Yeah, let's make this happen. But like, I don't want that, you know, like it has to be something that we're both in the mood to make that threesome happen either.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, we will make it good. We definitely want to make it good.
Yeah. So one area that's been kind of like, here's been the conundrum. We have Echo, who very much has her groove and has this brony that I am incredibly attracted to. That is not like typical, like for me to like, oh my God, I kind of have a crush on someone. Like that is a lusty crush. Like it's not a normal thing. So like I have this and I want it and I like to lean into it. In the same moment, Falcon has been, during part of this evolution, has been, while watching and cheering me on, kind of like losing his mojo and just not catching a groove.
Just not catching the vibe. I would agree.
So we came to a head and we're like, during a post game, we're like, how can we celebrate and support us as a couple, us as individuals in this moment? I like, again, what do you want, right? Like, this is the question, like, what do you want out of this? I'm like, I need to fuck this brony. What's it going to take? Because it is before this conversation, we don't do separate room. We very rarely, and even when we did do, okay, I'll hang out in the room with like a coconut drink while you go and have fun on with whomever. Like even then it was like, oh, like that was weird. And I didn't like that. Did you? No. Okay. Let's never do that again. Right. Never the other way.
Right.
Right. It was a thing. And we had that conversation. We're like, what does this look like? Could we do this? Is this something that we would be interested in? If we were to have this conversation a year ago, the answer would have been like, absolutely not.
Right.
And we had this conversation 2-3 weeks ago and we were like, yeah, let's do it. If the vibe works, let's do it. And so the last time we were like, yeah, let's go and have this threesome. Threesome was never on the table. Gee, it was let's see what's out there. If we catch a vibe with all the people, like we'll follow that. But super hot, lusty bubble brony was there. We had unfinished business and, you were cool with me getting a room.
Yeah.
And like went to you and was like, hey, can I like, are you cool with us? And we like to start together. So like before I left, you kissed me and you're like, we start together. And then I said, and we always come back. And I left. And it was my first time like in a separate room.
Yeah.
Yep. What? Yeah, okay. I know.
It was a big moment.
It was. So it was my first time like with a brony in a non-swap experience, but also without my partner. It was very efficient. We talked about that. You were very surprised about how efficient it was.
Yeah, they were. They were back in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It was. Well, and like the brony had to think about baseball and he's like, I can't nut out yet. And we talked about that and you're like, Echo, he's got like a whole night ahead of him. Like he can't be like one and done with you. Right. Because then his like nights, you know,
yeah, he'd be home by 10 o'clock.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so like, it was very, it was good though. And it was, I remember like checking in with myself during it and being like, I don't feel bad. Like, I don't feel dirty. I don't feel yucky. I don't feel like, oh, like I'm not yellowing at all. Like I'm okay. I remember like when I left though, I remember like we were both like, oh, this is weird. Right. Cause we had that experience. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And then afterward, like I remember coming back to you, we were both like, huh, and we're good.
Yeah.
Right. And it was, and we were good.
Any desire to do it again? Or was that like, all right, check and moving on?
So it's definitely like on the menu. There are times where I really enjoy rock shrimp. I would not order it every single time I go out. But if I'm in the mood for a rock shrimp, sure, I will get it. If it works, if it's with the vibe, but it's not what we're seeking.
No. Yeah, no. That's a good way of putting it. It's definitely not on the, this is what we want to go do. But if it's timing works out, yeah, absolutely.
I also don't know why I chose rock shrimp as my menu item.
I was wondering that too, but I was going to leave that alone.
That was before or after?
The unicorn imbroni?
Yes.
That was after.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because when we were with the unicorn and brony, you fuck the unicorn. Brony and I had crazy foreplay vibe, but anatomy was acting a fool. So we had unfinished business to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I still had a really good time.
Yes.
Like with all four of us.
I feel like we have unfinished business with a good handful of people out there.
I would say that there are some things that we need to catch up on, if you will. But kudos to Falcon for having his fun with the unicorn and going, you know what? No, you do have unfinished business. Go ahead and give that a try and take care of it.
Take care of that. Yeah, yep. Agreed. So right at the beginning, Echo is out the gate talking about how her and Falcon had to sit down and revisit some of their original hard limits or original boundaries that they had set.
Yes, and I think doing that allowed this to happen.
For sure. What I'd like to kind of focus on is the fact that those things change over time.
Yes.
And that the things that you once thought was a never ever, will I ever, become a maybe, and then they become a okay, yeah, let's try this.
I agree, because those things that originally are taking you to that next level and enhancing your relationship, I don't want to say become old hat, but become almost the norm, if you will.
Right.
And then you need that. Well, what else can we do? What else will
sure, the excitement wears off from mm-hmm. those initial encounters or the things that once were super exciting, and the I get home and I'm holy mackerel, can you believe we just did that? Now becomes a, yeah, that's what we did.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was fun. I'd fuck them again. Yeah.
Yeah. So the excitement definitely wears off on that. And you're not only looking for new excitement, but new ways to bring your relationship to another level as well.
I would agree. I think that's why Falcon was like, oh, well, nothing happened this year, because it was the standard puppy piles or
everything they had been doing.
Or, sure. Yeah, it yeah. was, yeah, nothing new's happened this year. There's nothing to talk about. And
yeah, it's easy to kind of let those fall by the wayside because you're thinking, yeah, we've done that, been there, done that, but you've done it multiple times now. And you're not thinking about those being any kind of new or exciting experiences.
Now, I will say, looking at our past year, I feel a lot of things has happened.
I agree.
I think we've definitely had years where there have been a lot of, oh, wow, look at that. Mm-hmm. And other years where we've scaled it back and felt that, hey, you know what? This isn't hitting on all cylinders. We don't need to do something every weekend or every other weekend. We can bring this back to every couple of months. And then there have been times where it's like, there's this opportunity. Let's see where it goes.
I think this past year has been a big eye-opening year for us as far as delving into our why, as Echo talks about kind of having to revisit and talk about what their why is. Why do they do this? Why are they continuing this path? I ask myself that quite a bit. Are we doing this for the right reasons? Or, you know, what are we getting out of this? Are we doing this to fulfill something for our relationship or something to fulfill some selfish needs of our own? I'm constantly asking those questions in my own head, so I know that, or at least it's nice to hear other couples have to come back to that and kind of revisit that at times and figure out, what is our why? Why are we here? What are we doing this for? I think it's easy to hear the stories and say, yeah, that sounds fun, but ultimately, why do you do this? Yeah, that works for now, but is that a forever thing? And I think that coming back to that why ultimately reinvigorates you as far as why we do this and why it helps and why it's part of our life and why it's part of our personalities and who we are.
Cookie cupboards, female glory holes. For those that don't know, this is a cutout in the wall where a woman will slide her legs through and her vagina through. There are typically stirrups to put your feet in and keep your legs spread. Then people show up that you can't see on the other side of the wall and take turns pleasing you, if you will. Now, for me, the videos that I had seen of the cookie cupboards had always been penetrative sex and not the oral side, which seems to be Falcon's main focus. The cookie cupboards at our club are
standing height.
Yeah, pretty much shoulder height. You need a ladder or yeah. be 7 feet tall to be able to fuck through these things.
Right.
Which, in my opinion, is why the ones at our clubs are struggling.
Maybe.
But the one at Princeton that mm-hmm. Falcon was talking about is
with more hip level.
It is definitely a fuckable for anyone of standard height.
Yep.
However, the time that he was referring to, we ran into a couple that we knew there. The husband said, hey, she really wants to go in the cookie cupboard. Would you guys, he was talking to a group of eight of us, be interested in pleasing her?
Yep.
And all eight of us plus him took turns going down on her.
Right. Females and males.
Yep.
Yep.
Where she was trying to guess who it would be, and the guys with beards trying to keep their face away so they couldn't tell. And she did not have as good of a job guessing as Echo did.
She also had a lot more.
She had nine people to deal with versus two. I get it.
And what's your preference then? I mean, obviously you didn't fuck her through that. Have you fucked somebody through a female
glory hole? Those are the only two that I've seen.
Okay.
My fantasies all relate to you. I would prefer to watch you get fucked by multiple people just walking up and enjoying you. Mm-hmm. While I'm sure you would get plenty of pleasure from people going down on you, mm-hmm. the idea of the actual penetration is what brings me to that next level. Selfishly for me, I would either bring a ladder to our club or suggest we go to Princeton.
Okay.
How has your feeling been? Have you opened up a bit more to the cookie cupboard idea? Because I know you'd like that connection and you like to see who's there, but having seen our friend go through the nine people going down on her, hearing Echo's enjoyment, have you opened your views to it?
I think my apprehension towards it at this point in time is more or less like, I don't want to get in one and just kind of be like hanging out until the random person walks by. Kind of like when Echo walked past the glory hole room and there's just a penis hanging through the wall and waiting for somebody to do something. I kind of just maybe it's a rejection fear, or here I am just waiting for whatever's going to come my way, knowing that there's somebody there, that somebody's going to start in, and that I don't necessarily have to have that moment of waiting.
You can see my wheels turning. Are you saying that if we were standing outside that room talking to maybe a single gentleman and I suggested, hey, why don't we go in here? And he starts by going down on you. Mm-hmm. Me knowing the line that would
follow,
would you be all right with me going, okay, get ready, and tap this person in, next?
It's a possibility. I feel that the orgasm from something like that is going to be very different than the orgasm that I would get from more of an intimate encounter, but I'd be willing to try it out.
Sold. All right.
That's, if the guarantee is that I'm not just hanging out in the wind waiting.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. The way I see this happening is there will be a stream until you tap and say, I can't do anymore. And that the fact that you are open to it, not saying yes, but open to it, is infinitely head and shoulders above where you've been before. So consider me having new fantasy material.
Doesn't take much.
No, it does not. Glory holes. You brought it up. Mm-hmm. I do not recall a time that we've walked past a glory hole where there's been a cock hanging through with the door open waiting for someone to come in.
Correct. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Frequently, we just see the door closed and someone already in there.
Right.
And it's rare to find the door open waiting for someone. So I can see why we haven't really seen it. You know full well, you have the green light if you happen to be walking down the hall and you want to do something.
Yes.
By all means, off you go, and I can't wait to hear about it.
Right.
Do you feel that if you happen to walk past a beautiful cock, as she put it, hanging through the glory hole, would you think, maybe?
I don't know. I hadn't really actually even thought about it. Even after she said it, I didn't think about it. Just because it's not something we've happened upon, that's a tough call. Is it hard or soft?
I would say it's hard already.
I would say if it's hard already, I would be more likely or more inclined to go in. I don't know why. I feel like if I saw a soft one, I'm like, oh, that's some work that's there. I don't know. I would consider it if there was a hard cock, like a nice hard cock, just hanging out, looking like, please suck me. Yeah.
You had asked me while we were listening, writing our notes for this unzipping, if I had ever put my cock in a glory hole.
Yeah.
And I have not, because I was like, you know, this is actually the perfect opportunity to go in there, get it ready, and put it already hard through the hole, as opposed to walking up going, okay, hang on, let me get hard, and the pressure of that in the moment.
Right.
And going, knowing people are outside, it's like using a urinal with a line of guys behind you going, hey, come on, we've got to pee right here.
Try in here.
So the idea of going, oh, well, there's an open door, no one's in there, hang on, let me get in there and
yeah,
get ready. I could see that as an option. Now, if you go back to season one, you had a moment with Holly and Lauren in the glory hole where you're like, yeah, that one time was good, but I don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah.
All this talk, has that opened that possibility again?
Yeah, Yeah, see, I'm still not. It's kind of like if the opportunity presents itself, then I would have to see how I feel in the moment. But for the most part, it's not something on the front of my mind. I don't think about it. I walk in the club. I could care less about the glory hole rooms. It's just really not on my list. And if it is, it's way, 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 way at the bottom. So I can't say that.
It's not rock shrimp for you, but it's...
I mean, it's very... Like, it's not even rock shrimp, you know? Like, it's something I very, very infrequently order. But I'm not saying it's off the list. It's just... Again, it's one of those things that the moment has to be right. The vibe has to be right, you know?
I will say, during our discussion, I immediately thought, you know, I could see me getting hard in that room. And then you're going, oh, you know what? Let's go in and fulfill this. But in my fantasy world, you're in the double hole room.
Of course.
Where someone sees you go in and come to the other side. And I can tell that you're actively doing things with the other.
Yeah.
And I quickly pull myself out so as someone else can come in. And then you, and that was exactly where my head went as I was like, I wonder if I could do this. But if you were in there and then that, so it was interesting. Anyway. One of the things that they said that really got me thinking was how Falcon plays differently with others.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel we play differently with others?
Absolutely. Me particularly, I play differently with each and every partner. But when I watch you, I think you definitely play, in comparison with myself, you play differently with another female versus how you play with me.
Which direction do you feel that goes?
In what sense?
I started thinking about this, and I feel I tone down with other women, and I scale back from what we actually do. And I actually discovered that this past weekend with Tori, because at one moment I kind of moved her across the bed somewhat aggressively into a different position,
mm-hmm.
and her eyes lit up like, whoa, where did this come from? And she's like, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that opened the door to that bit more aggressive, a bit of choking, a bit of pulling the back of her hair, and those things that you and I do.
Yeah.
That I don't really do with her that often. And the fact that she was surprised, like, when we do that, you're not surprised by it. You're like, oh, no, whoa, where's this from? But that was the general look of, oh, this is a new, ooh, I like this. And so it got me thinking like, oh, wait, why was that a surprise? Do I tone myself down that much? Because in all honesty, when I'm with other women, I'm slowly trying to figure out what it is that they like and kind of work through seeing what's pleasing them, how they're enjoying it. While with you, I know that hand on your throat. Mm.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yep. Pull that hair. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
It hit it just a little harder. All right. Yeah. I don't jump to those because not every woman is into that.
Yeah. Well, and I think you said it just right there is both of us scale ourselves back in the sense of the fact that we're both people pleasers.
Yes.
We attempt to, you know, read our partner and attempt to please them as much as we can. And I know that that's frequently where my headspace is when I'm with a new partner is I'm like figuring out if they seem to be liking something, one thing over another. Do they like the way I give head or are they liking the way I ride them or are they not liking the way I ride them? And I'm feeling out the situation. And even with partners that we've played with on multiple occasions that are still not each other,
mm-hmm.
I still kind of scale myself back. A lot of the partners I play with are very kind to me. They're very nice to me. And while that's lovely,
you're a delicate little angel.
I also like people to call me a fucking whore. You know, like I want to be treated kind of dirty in the bedroom. And when I get that real nice, you know, side, it's like, oh, maybe they don't want to be rough with me. And that's okay, but then I'm like kind of going with their flow, but then that ends up being something that pulls me back. There's still things that we're even learning along our own way that Echo actually started to delve into. We had a fantastic conversation.
I was so excited by this. I saw the two of you talking and it was very intense. Like the two of you were you were in your own world. You were 20 steps behind the rest of us walking.
Yeah.
And just the back and forth conversation. I was like, oh, I'm curious what that's about. But it was one of those, but if it's something I don't need to know about, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
So I never really dug into what's that conversation. But to know that it's been two months or so
mm-hmm.
since that night And they continue to have the discussion about this.
Which, after hearing that, now we had that discussion, like you said, about 2 months ago. And I, you know, haven't discussed anything with her since to kind of sit down and have this discussion on the podcast. I was like, I was so proud of myself that I got Echo and Falcon to think deeply about something, because honestly, I just love the fact that they have the relationship where they do ask the questions, where they come together and they have those conversations. And it's not just surface level. It goes deeper. They are constantly asking the whys about everything. Mm-hmm. The fact that I got to be kind of a precipice for that for them made me very proud. When she was talking about this in the moment, I got very excited.
So to bring everyone back to what this discussion was.
So the discussion, well, part of the discussion was, I was telling her that the discussion started a little bit about you going off on singular travel plans and dates with other women. The conversation kind of went into like how we learned that that was okay. And then I talked a little bit about how cuck queening was kind of something I was leaning into right now and how I got there. And so how I got there was when I'm masturbating by myself, usually with my wand, I have the fantasy world in my head of me speaking to or receiving verbal interaction with my, you know, imaginary partner. And my imaginary partner is not saying nice things to me. They're saying very degrading things. They're saying, usually it's not horrible, but it, you know, it's just slutty things. And I had to take a step back and be like, wait, why is this imaginary person telling me these horrible things the reason why I can come? Why is this making me come? And so fast. Mm-hmm. We had this conversation. I talked to her about how, yes, I was masturbating and I'm asking myself, why am I thinking these things? And it rolled into her asking kind of the same questions and kind of dabbling in figuring out what and why she gets off on the things that she does. And it sounds like it may have brought up a few more questions than answers, but I'm happy that they're kind of traveling down that road.
I also love the fact that when she put the question back to Falcon.
Yes.
So what do you think? I don't know. Everything.
And I think I did the same to you, which is kind of funny because the difference between how women think when they're masturbating versus the way that men think when they're masturbating are two completely different.
See, that's where I disagree. I have angles. A very, very focused thing that I think about every single time. And that if I don't think about that thing, I do not get there.
Okay.
And I have tried thinking about multiple other things or different scenarios. It always gets its way back to you being pleased.
Okay.
And it's typically you being pleased by multiple men at the same time.
Now, what would you say about you watching some sort of pornographic material? I know, I understand that the pornographic material you watch is of me with other people.
99% of it, yes.
But what would you say about that? Is that still fulfilling that need for of me with somebody else? Or are you still going to that initial thought of me with multiple men?
Honestly, I could watch videos of you one-on-one with a few rare exceptions. And while it will get me excited and get me turned on and get me close, it's not until I switch to either a very graphic, hardcore video of you with one guy or videos with you with multiple people that I will actually finish.
Now, what do you think would happen if you had that actual pornographic material in your hands, like of the actual, the thought of what ends up getting you over the edge?
If you ever fulfilled my gangbang fantasy,
yeah.
Oh, I would use it relentlessly for years without a doubt. I mean, there are videos of you from before we've gotten together that I know the story of what's taking place there. Mm-hmm. And that thought can push me over the edge because that's you going to that next level, going above your typical comfort zone. And that, I think, is what gets me there.
If I fulfill this, if I were to hand you, you know, like a video of the exact thought that you go to in your head to get off, then what becomes the next thing? What's
I'm
the
very,
next?
I'm very intrigued what the next thing is, because I have had this thing as my main fantasy for several relationships going back to when I started in this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And this fantasy has been there and has not played out for me.
Have you asked yourself, what's the why? Why do you want to see this? What is it that's turning you on about this?
This is a scene that happens in Debbie Does Dallas that has been something that I have been masturbating to since the late 80s. I have yet to see my partner, who is my ultimate porn star, live this out. You're asking what my next fantasy would be from that point? I don't know. Because, like I said, there are certain videos of you that we've taken or you took before us that still get me off every single time I watch them.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt this would as well. I haven't had to come up with that next one because I've been chasing this one for damn near 30 years now. And I know you have a fear of starting to play out this fantasy for me. And because it's been that ultimate fantasy for me for so long, if it doesn't go as I see it or as I'm hoping it would, of either disappointing me, letting me down, ruining a fantasy of mine. In my world, I'm hoping that you enjoy it so much that you're like, I need to do more. So I think by definitely going to be a learning process. I don't think anyone's first gangbang is, ooh, that was the best one ever.
Right.
I think it's, the first one is there. Now I'm more comfortable. I understand what's going to happen. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why I'm surprised that Echo is holding on to this first threesome for as long as she is.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that that first one can live up to the dramatic hype that she has it.
Sure.
I take it back. I've seen her several people. Yes, she's going to thoroughly enjoy it. And it's going to be a fantastic moment for her. There's no doubt. And I foresee several more happening beyond that.
It's like the less people you have in the room, the more the fantasy counts versus the more people you have in the room. Meh. I mean, you can't control that many bodies, right?
Well, the thing is, the more people that are there, if one or two or three are struggling, the other ones are there to pick up the slack either until one of those others can jump in or even, hey, if they're doing their job and the others are there, at least the others were there. And it's still that idea that, hey, that group was there for you. I mean, see what you're saying.
For me specifically, if I think about a gangbang, like you're saying, I can maybe in my mind control the first two guys. But after that, it's like, I don't know. Whatever happens, happens kind of thing.
The whatever happens, happens kind of thing is the fantasy in my head. We just had an experience where, for lack of a better term, it was a three guy train where these three guys just kind of, I'm coming back. And you literally had sex 10 times.
But with the same three people
rotating. With those same three guys.
Yeah.
You got to a point in that where you were just, my legs are open, take me.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter which one of those three guys it was. It didn't matter if anybody else had happened in the room.
Yeah.
You were there and ready and wanting more. Mm-hmm. That is the state that turns me on for you, that you're welcoming. Just give it to me. I want whatever you guys have for me.
Yeah.
And that is what gets me.
Part of what was really sexy about that rotation of those three guys was what I was seeing or feeling on my behalf was that, oh, this guy was waiting his turn for me. Mm-hmm. And then the next guy, this guy wanted me again. Like he got back in line. He like, got, you know, like I want to ride again, roller coaster kind of thing. Like that was so much fun. That played a big role in my mental state of, oh yeah, okay, I'm here. I'm open for business because every single one of those guys wanted a turn and then wanted a turn again, you know? And I think that was part of the accepting of wanting more, of feeling very sexy, of feeling like I didn't want to stop.
Yep.
Speaking of things that are a humongous turn on, Echo talks about her brony bending her over and pulling her skirt up. And oh my God, like, whew, that is so fucking hot. I mean, just hearing that was like, oh, yes, I want that. So,
which is why I feel you are more of a microwave 90% of the time.
I agree. Is there such a thing as a switch when it comes to a microwave and an oven?
I mean, it's a convection oven, maybe.
Depends on what I'm cooking.
Yeah.
I can definitely be a microwave given the right circumstances.
I think someone approaches you, lets you know how attracted to you they are, they kiss you, they touch you, you notice the effect that they're having on you,
mm-hmm.
you notice the effect that you're having on them,
mm-hmm.
and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, I was thinking I'm closer to a kiln where I'm going to take a long time talking to you, teasing you, getting you turned on, and then slowly pleasing you more and more and more until then I am ready and let's enjoy.
Let's talk about the menu. I mean, Echo mentioned it being that rock shrimp are on the menu, but she's not going to order them every time. And that's 100% perfect way to describe our approach to the lifestyle. I feel like everything's on the menu at all possible times. It's just a matter of where the night takes us and what happens. We kind of leave it to the gods to decide, I guess. You know, it just happens.
We go in with no expectations. We say it all the time.
However it happens, you know.
We have no plans when we walk into the club that night. We don't walk in going, hey, this is going to be a puppy pile night.
Right.
It's more of a, hey, we're vibing with this entire group of people.
Let's make it a puppy pile and easy on us.
Usually an Elizabeth or a Echo or whoever's going to go, hey, should we all head back now?
Right.
I mentioned that Echo is one of those people that does orchestrate those puppy piles. I have noticed in the last several months, Echo and Falcon finding someone to play with early in the evening and then calling it a very early night, as opposed to where they would typically both flirt with people all night long. Falcon absolutely loves flirting and will do it all around the club with everyone who is welcoming. But hearing her say that her gaining this voice and this desire has kind of pulled his mojo down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed it, and I feel that has modified their journey through the night.
I have definitely picked up on them pulling back a little bit from the group type play and being a little bit more a swap type situation. I'm curious from your perspective, if I'm getting something that I need from the lifestyle, am I stifling you somehow in the process and therefore making it harder for you to kind of do your thing?
That's an interesting question, because I typically feel like it should always be our thing. I think in our situation, I would welcome you going after what you want more.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my enjoyment comes from seeing and hearing your enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can talk to everyone in the club. I can feel fantastic doing that. I can enjoy being myself. I can enjoy having those sexy chats. I can enjoy making out with all the women in the world. But to know that you're actively engaged with someone and enjoying that moment, I know the more into that you get, the better that experience later that night will be. So if for that to happen, I have to take a step back and just kind of take in the night or follow your lead
mm-hmm.
with whatever you're gaining that pleasure from, it is absolutely worth it for me.
You also get a lot of enjoyment out of socializing.
Yes.
And if it felt as though you could not socialize because I was pulling you in a direction that made it so that you couldn't socialize.
I could totally see you having a great connection with a single guy and us being in the back of the club, back in the back corner of the porn room where no one else is coming back there. There's nobody else for me to talk to. At the same time, I'm not walking away because this could go at any second. Yes, I would definitely stay back there with you. And it would change my evening.
Yeah.
I would be thinking, oh, what about all these other couples that we could be enjoying?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we here at this one particular spot where we are in a corner and we can't bring in that whole group and mm-hmm. maybe have that amazing group experience? And at the same time, I'd be going, but if she's really into this guy, some of my favorite experiences have been you one-on-one with the guy.
Yeah.
And hey, for a night, I'll roll the dice because I don't see this going away anytime soon. So I can spend the night doing that.
Yeah.
And if it's something you're into, I'm all on board.
Okay.
This leads to her first solo play experience.
Yes.
And the moment that they had their discussion, are you all right with this? Yes. He said, we always start together. They have a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And she follows that with, when we always come back together. I thought that was fucking fantastic.
For sure.
As opposed to, hey, can I go fuck this guy? Well, I guess. Okay, bye.
Right, right.
They have their set boundaries,
mm-hmm.
and they found a way to make that experience work within their guidelines.
Yeah.
And I fucking love that.
I think that speaks really well to how couples evolve in the lifestyle. How do we make this work? Falcon knew very well that there was unfinished business there, and he knew that it was likely that if he were to be in the room or with another female even in the room again, it may ruin Echo's chances of getting that follow through that she was really yearning for at that point. They figured it out. This is how we're going to do it. We start together. Okay, we'll share a kiss right here and now, and then we will end up back together after all is said and done. It doesn't always look like what everyone else's approach is. Some people, you know, well, I mean, for the longest time, for me and you, we said we absolutely had to be in the same room. Mm-hmm. And now we're leaning outside of those boundaries and we're testing those waters. And that's a very normal kind of evolution of things. Okay, this works. We trust each other. Okay, nobody's getting hurt and nobody's breaking any rules or trust in the process. And now we move to the next level. I love that they have been able to find that
menu item, if you will.
Yes, that menu item.
And gold star to Falcon for talking Echo off the ledge when this guy didn't come because it was early in the night. He knew, hey, if I do, I'm going to have a problem performing for other people later.
I think all you need is a heads up from the guy you're with. As long as they're upfront about either not wanting to come or purposely holding back, if that's the case, then as long as you get that heads up ahead of time, I'm game. You know, no hard feelings. I'm not complaining.
But I also question if you would even say, okay, let's go, if somebody was upfront about it at the beginning. But then maybe, I mean, with the whole plus one room, you were able to go, okay, good, please me then.
Well, if I know that it's not my responsibility to make you come, or if I feel like that's kind of taken off of the table, then I can just have fun now. I have no specific one goal point. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now I can just ride you and have fun, and I can give you a blowjob and have fun, and I don't have to think, oh, he's not coming, or he's not getting close. What am I doing wrong? I have none of those negative thoughts in my head anymore. Now I'm just having fun.
I'm just
pleasing you. You're pleasing me. We're having a great time. I don't feel the need to come either all of a sudden. I don't know why that is, but that seems to be the
next... Your plus one room moments disagree with you, but okay.
No. I'm saying I don't feel the need to come. Like, if I come, then great. But I don't... Suddenly, I can like let myself go to the idea that...
You can live in the moment and just enjoy it.
Yeah, just live in the moment. Thanks for joining us for a Hump Day Quickie.
We hope this brought you some midweek excitement.
If you have your own confession you'd like to share with us and our audience,
please call 844-4-HUMP-DAY and leave us a message.
Can't wait to hear your sexy stories.